turn to this issue, which has been the topic of the day and should be, obviously, which is the stress on our financial systems here in the United States. Earlier in the day, I asked why we couldn't have a substantive and adult discussion of this rather than a lot of hyperbole and partisanship, and I doubt that it was my comments that energized this, but in any event, the senator from New York, Senator Schumer, did come down and make a couple of points on how he thought we could proceed, and I wanted to comment on those specific points and elaborate a little bit. First off, the term Resolution Trust Corporation has been thrown around a great deal. As I mentioned earlier today, I was rather familiar with that because I was governor of the state of New Hampshire at the time that we had the real estate meltdown in the Northeast, and the Resolution Trust came in, as did the FDIC under Chairman Seidman. Chairman Seidman did an extraordinary job, by the way, for us. And we had to reorganize our banking system. And the assets fell into the hands of the Resolution Trust Corporation, who then proceeded to dispose of those assets, which were basically had caused the banking system to fail in the Northeast and earlier in the Texas area. And I think that that vehicle was appropriate to that time. And I think what we're hearing today in the term Resolution Trust is the concept, not the specifics of that vehicle. And thus, when Senator Schumer said, well, it was inappropriate for Senator McCain to throw out the concept of Resolution Trust as an approach to addressing this extraordinarily critical matter, I think he may, I don't know, I can't speak for Senator McCain, but I suspect what Senator McCain's purpose was to talk about the concept of a government entity like the Resolution Trust, which comes in and basically relieves the pressure on the financial markets by creating value under assets which nobody at the present time can value. And that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. So I wouldn't dismiss the idea out of hand. I would simply say that it's a term of art now as versus a specific structure. And the term of art is essentially stating that the federal government does have a role, potentially, of coming in and putting value on assets which cannot be valued by the market and which are locked down and which have caused the whole credit market in the nation to freeze down. That's what's happened today, of course, in these mortgage-backed securities. Nobody knows the value of the security underlying the mortgage-backed security, and therefore it's impossible to basically sell them, and therefore the fluidity of the economy has been disrupted, and in fact we're seeing a freezing up of the economy as these securities basically hold in place instead of being traded. And what has been suggested, and actually, interestingly enough, appears to be the suggestion of the senator from New York, is that we create some sort of structure which allows federal government to step in and essentially put value underneath these mortgage-backed securities by using the good faith and credit of the American taxpayer to essentially set a price for this. He has suggested a couple ways of doing this. Let me comment on those because I think they're worth commenting on. First, as a price of doing this, he has suggested that we should change the bankruptcy laws, a proposal which was debated here at some length earlier in the year, so that bankruptcy courts would have the right to write down mortgages in bankruptcy. That is an appealing idea on its face, because most of these mortgages are going to be written down anyway, but the issue becomes, what is the cost of that on the marketplace? If the mortgage underwriter knows that there is a potential that the mortgagee may file bankruptcy and that that mortgage may be adjusted significantly in bankruptcy, then the cost of that mortgage is going to go up. And it's going to go up a lot because it's going to have to cover the premium in some actuarial estimate of how many mortgages might end up in bankruptcy, might end up being written down. As we know, bankruptcy doesn't deal with secured assets like a mortgage in the sense that it doesn't write them down. The secured assets come first. And so this proposal has its upside from a standpoint of being attractive to a way of getting these mortgages performing again, but it has the downside of probably creating a much higher price for mortgages in the marketplace in the initial offerings. And, of course, what we want to do is make mortgages more readily available in a sound and reasonable way, not in a speculative way, the way they were under in the last few years under the subprime system. So there may be a way to do this, and I wouldn't close the door to it. I simply say, in looking at this, we have to be realistic to recognize that the cost of writing mortgages in this way will go up, and there may be a way to keep that price from being excessive by limiting the availability of that option. And so I'm willing to, not that it's my role, but I would certainly think it's something to look at. The second idea, which the senator suggested, was that we allow the federal government to basically buy into troubled banks and get what I presume would be equity back by creating a new entity to do that, a new agency. That's also an interesting idea, and I respect the fact that he's brought that idea forward. I would suggest that that's a long, complicated exercise, however, and we're not in a period where we have a whole lot of time. What we need is something that's going to make sense soon and give us some fluidity in the marketplace reasonably quickly. And probably the only way you're going to accomplish that is to pursue a course of the federal government injecting itself into the process through by purchasing mortgage-backed securities in some manner, maybe through one of the agencies that we've already gotten possession of, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or one of our other agencies, and taking them off the books of these entities and reselling them in some way that recoups value to the taxpayer. That gets liquidity into the process, and it hopefully gets a stability into the pricing mechanism for these mortgage-backed securities, which are at the core of our problem. Quite honestly, if we had done this, we're taking this type of route with Stimulus One, where we used $160 billion, we probably could have abated this entire problem, or at least muted it significantly, because that's a lot of money, $160 billion. And if we hadn't just handed it out in $600 increments to everybody to be spent to buy a television made in China so the Chinese benefited from it, we didn't benefit from it. If instead we had put it on the problem, which was essentially the mortgage issue and the fact that there was a lot of debt that was non-performing and where you couldn't ascertain the value, and used it to basically settle out that part of our economy, we might have made great strides earlier, and we might not be where we are today, which is in such dire straits. So I think it's good, at least, that the topic has been opened, and I congratulate Senator McCain for being willing to step on this rather, put his toe into this rather choppy water, and do it in a way that really isn't in the tradition of what you would call classic conservative politics. He's basically suggesting that we might need to look at a major initiative through the government to stabilize the situation, and that's a departure, and he should be congratulated for being willing to be strong enough, creative enough, and mature enough to be willing to step into that direction. I wish, quite honestly, that Senator Obama was saying something similar. Now, Senator Obama continues to talk, and unfortunately, hyperbole on this issue, and sort of out here on some other planet relative to what is the reality of the on-the-ground problem. At least Senator McCain is talking about the problem in a mature, substantive way. Obviously, the ideas haven't totally evolved or developed yet, but he is opening a dialogue that I think is very constructive to the question of how we get to a solution here, as Senator Schumer, quite honestly, in his proposal. So, as I said, I've outlined what I think is the point to begin the dialogue, and this may all be moot anyway, because there's significant rumor that the Treasury and the Fed is moving much faster than the Congress, which should not be a surprise. They usually do. And that's why we have them. And they did a good job, in my opinion, on Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, the Treasury did, and they did the right thing with AIG and with the Fed. Another issue that's been raised here, however, that is giving us some problems is the short-selling issue. And there's been a lot of discussion on this floor about short-selling and how it's been predatory and inappropriate, and that's true. There's no question but that naked short selling is a serious problem, and I congratulate the SEC for pursuing aggressive rules on the equity side of short selling, naked short selling, so that people have to cover what they're doing. But when you do an event on short selling on the equity side, it opens up short selling on the debt side. In other words, if a short seller thinks a company is a target, and they're going to go after that company, a person who's approaching this from a very predatory approach on the equity side, and the equity side is shut down either by the SEC action or, more importantly, at least with financial houses, with the British action, which basically bars short selling relative to financial houses until the beginning of next year, then that short seller is probably going to move over to the debt side. And the practical effect of that is that spreads jump dramatically, and the practical effect of that is that it becomes virtually impossible for people to borrow money because the spreads are so high. And that has an equally contracting event. It makes commercial paper very hard to move. And so I do hope that as we look at this issue, at the short selling issue, that we'll not only look at the equity side, we'll look at the debt side. And in that arena, there's a lot of different things that have been suggested, but one that I've heard is that you should, and I don't know that this works, but I think it's worth throwing out, is that that you've got to look at the credit default swap arena and have more transparency on it, so that people know what the risks are and they know what the value is and they know what's going on in this arena. And that could be done through creating some sort of clearinghouse along the lines of what we do with S&P futures. That's been a suggestion, and maybe that's the way to go. But in any event, you can't just fix half of this equation, in my opinion, and expect the markets to not adjust in a way that actually continues the retardation of the markets or the retardation of the economy as it's because of the lack of transparency on the debt side as to who owns what and what the spreads are. Not transparency on spreads, but the fact that people aren't going to be able to get commercial paper because the spreads will be too high as a result of the short selling. I'm not talking about eliminating it. I'm not even talking about chilling it. I'm just talking about making it more transparent. And that, I think, would be very helpful. In any event, it seems to me that at least we're getting some good and positive discussion on these issues around here, which is a change. And hopefully we can continue on this track. And it may be that the Congress will be out of session before anything can be done, and that may actually be good, too, if we don't have anything good to do. But as a practical matter, I think we have to maintain our flexibility as a government, and we have to be willing to support those who are trying hard in this area to try to get our markets back to operating in some level of normalcy, specifically the Secretary of Treasury and the Chairman of the Fed. And we should not try to hyperbolize this issue and create an atmosphere that is where the well of opportunity to look at things that are different and creative and maybe outside the tradition of the ideology of one side or the other is poisoned by excessive partisan discussion.